Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. It is good to see all of you here. And hopefully we've all had a good week and we're excited about being gathered together for worship this morning. If we do have any guests this morning, we do especially welcome you and glad to see you here with us this morning. I have a few things I want to highlight in the bulletin, but before I do that, I would like to recognize a young lady because today is a special day for her. And I would like to say a very happy birthday to Miss Brittany Anderson. So if you see her this morning, make sure you wish her a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Brittany. I do have a few things, again, I'd like to highlight in your bulletin. One is for the Board of Stewards. Did send a message out to you this week, but if you didn't get that, we do need to meet right after the service in the chapel for just a few minutes, 5 minutes or so. Please make plans to attend that this afternoon. Also, as I believe all of us know, VBS does start tonight. It starts at 5:30, and I'm going to turn that over. Actually, I believe Mary had a few things she'd like to mention about that.
It does start tonight at 5:30, but we ask that you come for registration at 5 so we can get the kids registered and their seats ready to go by 5:30. If you'll look in the bulletin underneath the calendar part, it says it's 5:30 to 8:45 each night. Register by 5 tonight. And the closing program is Friday at 6 o'clock. So please come and support the youth and find out what they've learned about this week. They have some great Bible stories that they're going to study, a missions lesson they're going to study. So that's open to everybody. We'll have some hot dogs and stuff and some blow-up castles for the kids. No adults in the blow-up castles. So that'll be 6 o'clock this Friday in the fellowship hall. Please come. And please bring your children, your grandchildren, your neighbor's children, the lady down the street's children, who's ever, to Bible school this week. So you never know what this week may do for the rest of their life. So 5:30 to 8:45 each night, Friday at 6 o'clock. Thank you.
I'd also like to add one other thing in relation to Bible school. If anybody has any food items or anything in the refrigerator or freezer, you've been asked to clean that out this afternoon, if you would. Benjamin raised his hand. That's why I was laughing. But if you would go by and take anything out that is yours, they're trying to clean that out for Bible school this week. So go by. If you think you might have something, just go by and check and take those things out of there. And also, we're missing one of the orange 5-gallon coolers. If you have that, please bring that back this afternoon because they'll need to use that as well for this week. I believe that was all I had to mention or highlight this morning. Were there any other announcements from the congregation? Okay. If not, we'll open with a word of prayer. We do have Mr. Billy Griffith with us here this morning, and we're excited that he has agreed to come and be with us this morning and bring the message. So let's remember him in our prayers this morning as he brings the message. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love toward us, your mercy and your grace, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather, the freedom we have to gather. We thank you, Lord, for just bringing us here together this morning for this worship service, and I pray that you would prepare our hearts and our minds for the message this morning. We pray for Mr. Bill as he brings that message, that you would speak to him and speak through him and make our hearts open and receptive to your word, that we may take it and apply it to our lives and better serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly, we can say this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We're glad in it because we have the joy of coming together as a family in Christ and worship together him in, together in truth and in spirit. Join with me as we have the call to worship, Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus Is to Me, followed by hymn number 106, Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's stand as we worship the Lord in song. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me.
Thank you.
praise him together. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing you God's blessing today.
Before I pray, I would like to read the scripture I'm going to use this morning, and this will kind of give you a heads up of where I'm going. If you'd like to take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25 and beginning at verse 14. It's a rather lengthy passage, so just please bear with me. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Now, mark that down at least in your mind. And straightway took his journey. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that hath received 2, he also gained 2 other talents. But he that hath received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, mark that down, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 other talents. And the Lord said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into thou joy of the Lord. Then he which hath received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed, or that literally means scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. And lo, there that hast, that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and have gathered where I have not scattered seed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundant, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let us pray. And our Father, how blessed it is to be able to come together as a church. Not because that we are in a building, but because what you have done and what you have done in the lives of your people. You said very clearly, when your people gather together, you are in our midst. And Lord, I take that to be literal. And we can be excited, as we can expect great things from you every time we meet. Father, now I do remember and hold up to you Jim Rutter. I know he just, and Miss Felicia, I know he just came through a very difficult surgery, and you brought him safely through. And now I know he's facing other procedures. He's a godly man that we love, and we pray that you would put your protective hand upon him. And Lord, that you would glorify your name, as people would be amazed at what you do. We also ask, Lord, that you keep your protective hand upon Pastor Rodney and Frankie as they minister in Honduras. We pray that they would see much fruit as they minister to the Hondurans. Yes, Lord, we do know that they are in a dangerous place. But we also believe it is better to be in Honduras in the will of the Lord than to be anywhere else out of your will. We pray for the missionary team who is about to return to Honduras. May many in this assembly right now have made that sacrifice and they have gone, but they will also say what they received was far more than what they sacrificed. And some of our team have gone every year, I believe 7 or plus years. And how they too have been forever changed. But Lord, may everything in this service be done for thy honor and glory. Bless your word as it is proclaimed through singing and through preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, Lynn is going to come and share his special testimony. Lynn, Lord bless you as you come and share.
Next Sunday morning at 10,
Betsy and I will both be out of town, so if you bring your children to sing, go straight to Sunday school. We will not be singing with them. So don't forget, or you'll have to stay in there and sing with them.
Sometimes I stop on my way home and watch the children play. I wonder if they wonder what they'll be someday. Some will dream a big dream and make it all come true, while others go on dreaming of things they'll never do. We're all just seeds in God's hands. We start the same, but where we land is sometimes fertile soil, sometimes sand. We're all just seeds in God's hands. Saw a friend the other day I hardly recognized. He'd done a lot of living since I'd last looked in his eyes. He told a tale of how he'd failed, the lessons he'd been taught. But he offered no excuses, and he left me with this thought: we're all just seeds in God's hands. We start the same, but where we land is sometimes fertile soil, sometimes sand. We're all just seeds in God's hands. And as I'm standing at a crossroads once again, I'm reminded we're all the same when we begin. And in the end, we're all just seeds in God's hands. We start the same, but where we land is sometimes fertile soil, sometimes sand. We're all just seeds in God's hands. We're all just seeds in God's hands.
Thank you, Lynn. Ushers, if you would please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are blessed, and we are grateful for that, for what you've given us and blessed us with. And we do ask that you would help us to use what you've given us wisely, Lord, and be good stewards of it. As we give this portion back, we ask that you would take it and use it for your honor, for your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just before Brother Griffith comes to share the Word of God, we invite you to turn with us to hymn number 354. And while singing this particular number, again, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers to their place of worship. Joining together, leaning on the everlasting arm. Let us stand together and praise God in that fellowship. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, singing together.
Good morning. Apparently, Benny did not get the word out that Dr. Wallace is not going to be here this morning. And you stayed anyway. It's funny how things come back. This is actually the first sermon I have preached here since, I think it was 1995, thereabouts, when I came back to do homecoming. I've had several funeral services and those types of things, but I think other time when Dr. Blank or Mary Ann threw a surprise thing for Dr. Blank, and I came, among others, to speak at that. But as I was telling Benny, I said, when I was here, that clock wasn't on the wall. And Dr. Blank, that clock, so I would imagine the Monday after the Sunday I left, y'all put a clock up there, didn't you? I just noticed that. I'm not sure I can see with my new glasses from up here, but
it's 5 minutes off.
Ahead or back? Also, I couldn't help but notice, I get tickled every time. Some of you may too, but I get tickled about when I walk through the side room here and look at the former preachers, the pictures there, you know, kind of the mug shots. And the couple I do not recognize is the one of Lisa and me. There was a time that Skippy, David, and I were both, all three with jet black hair. Did you know that? That was a long time ago. Y'all remember that? Well, that picture in there was taken in 1993. And a lot of water goes under the bridge in that time, and God uses all of it, even in the difficult of times. Also, one other thing that came to my mind. I've often been accused of being Dr. Blank's clone. Other pastors used to accuse me of being a little blank, but a blankite. How about that? And y'all remember this. One thing he would do, and I'm not laughing at him because I did it too, and still will do it as well. I'll sing, let's turn to hymn number what, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and I don't know how many verses it is. I'll say, let's sing the first, second, and last verse. And invariably, I'd sing the third verse and get everybody messed up. Just like Dr. Blank used to do. Mrs. Blank is nodding her head, so it is what it is. Do you believe Christians are the most blessed people on the face of this earth? Do you believe that? Do you believe, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people looked forward ahead to what was going to be done. The fulfillment, which is Christ upon the cross and the resurrection from the dead. Now, we see that fulfillment, and by God's grace, we should live that fulfillment, but we can look back at what has been done, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, of what is being done now, regardless of the circumstances. I've heard this several times, where people, if you go in a Christian bookstore, you know, they're going to kind of try to pander to anybody so they can sell books. But you go in there and you'll find these people who will say, if you have the right faith, then you'll have health and you'll have wealth. You ever heard that? You don't have to look far on television to see people. They might not say it directly on television, but read their books and they will directly say that. That is the litmus test of whether or not you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you are healthy and wealthy. You know, what would they say to the Christians right now in the Middle East who are being martyred for their faith? To ISIS. Losing, literally losing their head. What would they say to them? Because ISIS says, ISIS says, if you renounce Christ and you come to Islam, you'll live. Many are dying for their faith. What would these health and wealth people say to them? What would they say to the Chinese church that is flourishing, by the way, but it's underground because if you profess Christ in China, you better mean it because any moment of any day you can lose your life by that profession of Christ. It is outlawed. Little side note, it could quickly come in America too. But the church in China is flourishing, and many of those Christians don't have anything but the clothes on their backs. But I bet they can sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. I bet they can sing Victory in Jesus. Blessed assurance, and there's power in the blood. Don't you believe that? I don't know how it sounds in Chinese, but I bet it is something pretty. And so when a person is born again, regardless of the circumstances, we know because God has given us the gift of salvation, we can know that we can have the peace that passeth all understanding. And we can know that we have the presence of the Lord in our life. And the Bible says always, you remember what Jesus said? Behold, I will be with you most of the time. I love these all-inclusive words. Yes, always, never, because my little finite mind, it cuts everything else out. The Lord said, I will be with you always. Now, what does that mean? Well, is there ever a time the Lord is not with you? Please say no. Is he always with you? Please say yes. I'm just kind of seeing here. And so that's where we are. No matter what the circumstances, we can know that the Lord is with us. And when we know that and we act upon that knowledge, then great things can happen. You think of Noah in the ark. Impossible. Jonah in the belly of the whale. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Daniel in the lion's den. Peter walking on the water. Many, many biblical examples of what can be done when we know that we know that we know that God is walking with us. And one little saying I like to use, but this would even make a Southern Methodist shout. Because we know what the Bible believes, what the Bible says, we're blood-bought, born again, and bound for heaven. Do you believe that? Amen. Say it again. Amen. Then let me ask you something. If that be true, then why is it sometimes we can feel so alone? Let's be honest. Why is it sometimes we can feel so empty? Why is it sometimes I feel like God is nowhere around me? Sometimes I feel like the sky is brass, as the Old Testament talks about, where my prayers go nowhere. I'm sure that doesn't happen to anybody here, but sometimes it has happened to me. You know. Sometimes where you feel like no one really loves you, or you're crying on the inside, and no one knows it, though you're smiling on the outside. Well, in a little different way, I'm using the passage this morning, Matthew chapter 25, if you haven't turned there. I'm going to talk about abilities. Now, let me say this. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. If you're a born-again believer, you have at least one spiritual gift, and you need to know what that is. Every Christian. The world does not have a spiritual gift, only Christians. Now, with that being said, everybody breathing has abilities. Everybody. If you only breathe, you have the ability to breathe. You know, and abilities differ. I mean, probably everybody in here can run faster than me now. Jump higher. I'm not sure about George, but George try. He thinks he can, but. But God's given us abilities. Sometimes things happen to our abilities. We have an accident. We might lose use of an arm or have a stroke. And you think, I've lost it. Then somebody like Laura can come, who's a physical therapist, and help me, by God's grace, get some of that ability back. And so what I'm saying to you is just simply this. When we use our God-given abilities, and everybody here has that, when we use them for God's glory, something akin to a miracle will happen every time, regardless of the circumstances. I'm going on that limb, and it's not a limb. I'm on the basis of God's word every time. When we use our gifts, our talents, and our abilities for God's work, then we know that God will do great things in us. So with this, the parable of the three stewards, or the slaves, or the servants, depending on your translation, they're all the same thing. And I just want to talk about four abilities. Four abilities that I want you to consider in your life. And by the way, you know when preachers preach things, they're preaching to themselves. Do you know that? Now, if I'm preaching through the books of the Bible, which I like to do, systematic exegetical preaching. I like to do that when I was pastor. You know, I go through a book preaching every Sunday. But sometimes when there are other times, preachers are preaching to themselves. Things that they may or may not be struggling with, or things that other people in the church that they know they're struggling with, but it has a personal reference. And I'm telling you it does with me, and I pray it does with you. The first ability is availability. That's an ability to make ourselves available for God. Not so much to do something as it is to be something. You know, the Lord said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He did not say become fishers of men and follow me. He said, I will make you fishers of men. So to make yourselves available to God simply means, Lord, I want to be here. Right now, you know where I am in my hurt. You know where my heart is. And Lord, it's easy to be depressed. And I want to make myself available in any way you want me to be. Not to go to Honduras or go sweep the floors. Lord, I just want to be what you want me to be right now in my heart. And then I'll do what you want me to do. Two of the stewards were available. One was not. Availability determines who really cares and who really does not. You remember Judges chapter, I think it's 7. You can check up on this. If not, you can email me at getoverit.com. Don't do that, because I thought about that on the way. It might really be an email on that. But you remember Gideon. God told Gideon to go fight the Midianites and the Amalekites, the two superpowers of the world. And they not only fight them, but fight them together. And Gideon only had 32,000 men. That may sound like a lot of people, and it is, but it was a drop in the bucket, because the Bible says the Amalekites and the Midianites were numbered as sands of the seashore. That means a whole lot of them. You know, it's hyperbole, it's called in the scriptures. It's like, how can you get the speck out of someone else's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? It's an exaggeration to make a point, but the point is made. There were a lot of them, and the Jews had 32,000. I can imagine how Gideon felt. But then, God said, before you go into battle, you have too many. I don't want anybody in any way to think somehow you did this yourself. I want them to know I did it. I did it through you, and I want to get the glory. So he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the men, and I want you to tell them, if your heart is not here with this, if you really don't feel like doing this, if you're scared, if you really want to go home, you're really not available, you can go home. And 22,000 picked up their ball and their bat, and they went home. Their sword and their shield. They went home. Now, you got 10,000. God said, that's still too many. Can you imagine? I want you to take them down to the river. There's a lot of people to drink water. He said, but I want you to count who puts their face down into the water to drink and who picks up water in their hand and brings it to their mouth and laps like a dog. You make a tally of that. And they did. And only 300 picked the water up to their mouth and lapped it like a dog. 300. I'm thinking to myself, okay, you 300, you going home. I got the rest of these. No, God said, that's the 300 I want right there. Really, God? Really? This is what you want? I would have wanted a recount. Now, let's do this again. Something's not right here. We're missing some zeros somewhere. No, the Lord said, I want you to be the one to be available to take these 300 men and go do what I've called you to do, even when it seems impossible. And humanly speaking, it was. God speaking, it was not. They couldn't miss because they were available to what God wanted them to do. Availability, it starts from the heart. One of my favorite authors is Oswald Chambers, and he wrote the very famous, My Utmost for His Highest devotional. And I've used it almost 30 years. And one thing he always talks about is not what you do, but it's what is in your heart. It always brings you back to the cross, to the risen Lord. It's not about me going out and doing things. Because when I'm more concerned about doing things without it first working in my heart, then in reality, I'm doing it for myself. And preachers are notoriously known for that, to be honest with you. You know, instead of being concerned with serving the Savior, we're kind of like catching the credit, you know? It's easy for all of us to do that. To do what God wants us to do with the right heart. Ruth Calkin is a poet that I learned about her years ago. Chuck Swindoll quotes her all the time. He's the founder of Insight for Living and the former president of Dallas Theological Seminary. And this is something he put in from Ruth Calkin. I'm going to give it to you. You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor when I'm in the limelight. You know how I speak for you at women's clubs, and you know how I effervesce when I promote a fellowship group. And you know my genuine enthusiasm when I'm leading a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew? Think about that. Washing the feet of an old woman, doing it day after day, month after month, when nobody would see and nobody would know. Are we still available? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. And when we are available like that, then we can truthfully say, I can turn my eyes upon Jesus and I can do what I do for God's glory, and everything else is going to turn dim as I look to the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It involves availability. The second one is simply this, adaptability. This is the ability to adapt to change that always comes in life. Two stewards adapted to the master being gone. One did not. Now, I will give you this personal note. I don't like change in my life. You would think I live a humdrum, rut, and routine life. I go to bed at the same time, more or less. I get up at the same time, more or less. I'm a meat and potato, string beans, and iced tea man. You know? just kind of humdrum. And yet, sometimes we as Christians, as church people, can get fixed in a certain way that if you don't fit that certain way, then you must be out of God's will. Again, let me read something to you. I don't know who wrote this. I had this from years ago. Believe as I believe, no more, no less, that I am right. No one else. Confess. Feel as I feel, think only as I think, eat what I eat and drink but what I drink. Look as I do and do always as I do, and then and only then will I ever fellowship with you. Boy, that describes some churches sometimes, doesn't it? And that really brings the people out the hole, doesn't it? Oh, listen, you better come in with your big black King James Bible and you better wear your tie, you know, you better look good. Because if you don't, there's something wrong with you. Listen, things change. I don't mean right and wrong changes. I do not mean right and wrong changes. We should never compromise the Word of God. But there are times when we have to realize we have personal preferences, and that is not based upon personal preferences, and we cannot legislate that to someone else. The Apostle Paul said, I become all things to all men that I might in all ways win some to Christ. To make the change, to have change to come into your life, it's not easy. It's not easy for me. Again, this is kind of a side note. I kind of debated whether to mention this or not, but because I truly have it as a note on the side. You know I'm not going to lie to you. I'm your Christian brother, your former pastor. Pastor Rodney's not going to lie to you. Dr. Blank is not going to lie to you. It is an argument of ignorance when we argue over the right translation. I laid it out there. It is an argument of ignorance. There are many, many good translations. The reason I preach out the King James, years ago when I would preach revivals, people would shut you down if you did not read out the King James Bible. One time I finished a revival, and one man, he said in my earshot, knowing I heard it, he said, came here to hear the Word of God. Didn't hear no Word of God tonight because I preached out another Bible. So I preach out the King James, but listen to me, folks. There are just as good other translations. New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, and there are others that are out there, but I am telling you, I know what I'm talking about, okay? I'll say that, not to be arrogant, but I know what I'm talking about. Whatever Bible you have in your lap is the Word of God, amen? And you can trust it. It is holy, and you can know that. But when we become so legislative on these things, then make other people feel like if you don't do it my way, then you're not the right way. And that makes people want to cut and run. Some of you have heard of W.A. Criswell, some of the older crowd, which would be me. He probably had the first mega Baptist church in America. He had a church in Dallas, Texas, First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. We had thousands upon thousands back in the day. That was rare. Now there are many mega churches. But he told a story when I think it might have been his first pastorate. He went to what was then called a fishing village on the Gulf Coast of Texas. He said something, an amazing thing happened every year. When the shrimp fleet would come in and unload their catch, those things that were considered culls or the trash, things they didn't want, they would throw to the side and the seagulls would have a frenzy. Ever gone to the beach and did not see a seagull till you threw one piece of bread in the air and all of a sudden? They did that every day. These seagulls would come in a frenzy and eat what was thrown out. Dr. Criswell said, invariably though, as the year went on and the fleet would move on down the coast to other catches or maybe following the shrimp, I'm not sure, but they would move on, every year some seagulls would stay there and starve to death. They had the God-given ability to do what God would have them to do, but they did not want to change. They were used to being spoon-fed, and they died right there. And I'm going to tell you something. That's easy for preachers to do. And if you're honest, that's easy for you to do. Because we just don't want to change. And yet when it comes to Christianity, let me tell you something. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and something hasn't changed, may I say, then you're not born again. When you receive Christ into your heart, you get a new birth. Not just to be reformed, to quit doing this and start doing that, but you get a rebirth, reborn, to be born again. And the Bible says there'll be a change in your heart that we just sang about, that Christ brought in our lives, to be adaptable. The third one is what I call attainability. The ability to recognize what God can do in my life when I make myself available to Him. You know, when I really want to serve Him, Lord, I have no idea how you're going to use me. Lord, I just know right now I'm down in the pit. I'm down where I don't think anybody cares. But Lord, I really believe, in spite of how I feel, I believe you can accomplish something in my life. I can do all things. I love that word. All things through Christ which giveth me strength. Is that right? Paul said, I forget the past. I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I press ahead. Lord, in spite of all my failures and faults and sins, I can, Lord, if I have dealt with it with you, I can know that it is dealt with and thrown to the bottom of the sea, and I can move on. I know there's no trash heap in God's life. I know there's no second shelf back in the storeroom. Everybody God can use. Everybody. And remarkably, even me. You know, it gets personal. Two of the servants realized the master could do something. By the way, the master is the one who had the best ability and who had the least ability. He just wanted them to be faithful. So two of the servants, one with five, the other with two, they came and they were faithful. They believed the master could do something great for them. The old hymn, where he leads me, I will follow until it suits me. No. We should say, where he leads me, I will follow, because there's no, I know everywhere, if I make myself available to God and I'm going to trust him to make my heart what it should be, there is no limit to where he can lead me in this earth, on this side of eternity. Ashley told me one time that I've had the same haircut since the fourth grade. And people, between Lisa and Ashley and Carol, they give me clothes. I still have tags on my clothes. I love them, but I haven't gotten to them yet. I just wear out what I've got. I know people think I don't have any clothes, but I really do. I just don't change that quickly. It's a fault. But when it comes to God, he gives us a new robe, a new mind, a new heart, a new attitude, action, and ambition. It all comes from the Lord. And we can know that. Many of you know, if not all of you know, that Lisa and I have a very special needs child at home, Carol Ann. Now, Carol Ann is 31 years old. She has cerebral palsy, and she lives home with us, and she is totally dependent. Carol Ann is probably somewhere between Addie Page and Ann Grace, my two grandgirls, cognitively. And I would say, as I was thinking about, probably closer to Addie Page, to Addie, in her cognitive ability. She's 31, but closer, certainly not Ann Grace's level. When I was pastoring in Columbia, a lady had gotten mad with the church. Can you imagine that? She was 80 years old. This was in 1995, 6, thereabouts. And I went to visit her, and she started coming to church. So I went to visit her again one time, and she started talking about Carol Ann. And she used two words, pathetic and pitiful. Pathetic and pitiful. Now, have you ever realized you have to consider the source who said it? You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Where you know the person's heart, She meant it in a sympathetic, she really meant it in a sincere way. And maybe if you look up those two words, they do not apply to Carol Ann. But this lady really meant it in a way that was heartfelt about Carol Ann's condition. And I can appreciate that. But I said, no, ma'am, she's precious. Let me tell you, Carol Ann's life is a matter of routine. And believe me, we live that routine. And she cannot handle the music and everybody. That's why she gets overloaded in church. But we have church at home. Don't misunderstand me. But Carolyn's life, you know, medicine, breathing treatment, feeding, for 31 years, we're regimented. But Carolyn knows the Lord. When we pray at night, I stand by her because I know God hears her prayers, you know. Carolyn knows the Lord. She loves the Lord. Let me tell you something else about her. I could take off my right shoe and take my tie and wrap a bow around it and give it to her and she'd be thankful. That's the truth. You could give her anything. It's not so much what the gift is that you gave it to her and she's so appreciative of it. I would say give me the other shoe so at least I'd have a pair. But that, you know, listen. Carol Ann does not see black people. She doesn't see white people. She could not care less who has money in here and who doesn't. And she doesn't even care who might be overweight. Isn't it easy to peg somebody? Just those three? I mean, there's 100, but just those three. Isn't it easy? And sometimes we wonder why change may and may not be brought to us. And all I want to do is say, Lord, I just want to serve you with my whole heart. In spite of how I may feel, Lord. I know the Bible says, or the song says, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me and I know it's true. And I can, Lord, if I just make myself available to you, I know you're going to use me in a way that I don't understand, but I believe that you will. And I would call that a miracle because I know how I feel right now and I just don't feel like it's going to happen. And I believe, though, it will happen when the heart, when we be, it's not what we do, but who we are, that's where the difference comes in. Then quickly, the last one is accountability. And you know the story here. The master came back and reckoned with them, set the account straight. Two were blessed, one was not. Do you really believe that Jesus can touch the most hurting heart that's here? It might be the person next to you. It might be you. Do you really believe he can forgive any sin? Do you really believe that? One more thing, and I'll close with this. I can see that clock, by the way. This is a true story about a man named John Griffith. No relationship as far as I know. I'll let Carol check on that. This happened in 1928. John Griffith was a railroad bridge tender or operator over the Mississippi River. You know, where you pull the switch and the drawbridge would go up and the ships could pass through and then it would come back down. John Griffith had an 8-year-old son who begged him, Lord, I want to go see what you do. I want to see the railroad train. I want to see the ships. And finally, it was against the rules big time. Finally, it was a beautiful fall day, and the dad said, let's go. So they made sandwiches, and they went. It was just a wonderful time. As the trains came, he would watch them go by, and as the boats would go by, he'd watch them. It was just a wonderful time. I would enjoy that. And so at lunchtime, they went to the observation deck. He went ahead and opened the bridge while they ate so all the boats could pass through who came. Knowing that the Memphis Express, which was a train, did not arrive till 1 o'clock. So they had time. The Memphis Express went by there about every day, carrying at least 400 people. Well, he got up there with his son, and as you know, it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to lose track of time, isn't it? Off in the distance, he heard a whistle, and he realized what he had done. And so if he left right now from the observation deck to the control house, he knew he would have time to pull the switch. And he did. As he got there, he looked down. His son, who was supposed to stay where he was, tried to follow his dad and had fallen off the catwalk and had fallen into the big, massive gears and cogs that would open and shut the bridge. He had a choice. And every time I tell this story, I ask you, and I'm going to ask me, what would I do? This happened. What would I do with my two girls, my three grandchildren? They're there, 400 people coming. I don't know them. What would I do? He put his head down and he pulled the switch. The bridge came down. And he said later what he remembered as the train went by. People were reading their newspaper and eating their lunch and just going about their activities on the train. And he wanted to holler, "Don't you care? Don't you care that I just sacrificed my son for you?" You know? And so when you ask yourself, will God really make a change in my life? Does he really care that I'm in despair? Maybe I'm in depression. I'm at a point where I don't think anybody really cares. Do you really believe, after you think about what Jesus did upon the cross, he cannot reach down and help you with what you have, your hurt? He told Jeremiah, "My arm is not too short and my arm is not too weak to pull you out of where you are." And he's telling Billy Griffith and he's telling every one of you the same thing. As Dr. Blank comes and Mrs. Blank comes, this is just going to be a simple, simple invitation. I like altar calls simply because you can say on this day, on the 7th, at this point in time, I came and I laid this at the altar of Christ. It's a mile marker in my life that I came and I gave it to the Lord. And without thinking, I know there's some hurting hearts here. Things I have no idea what it's about. Maybe nobody else has. But it's time to get rid of it. It is time to ask God to make that change, to bring that healing in your life. You're a Christian. And with a crowd this size, I must also say, if you don't know Christ, please come down. It's thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe confessing means just coming publicly. If that be the case, I want you to get my attention and let me pray with you. Otherwise, you come as they lead. It's a simple invitation. As God calls you, would you please come and just lay it here at the altar, make yourselves available and say, "Lord, I trust you at your word." Listen, to be accountable is not just to be accountable to God, but it's to say, "Lord, you're accountable to me. You are accountable to me. But either your word is true, either it's not." So I'm going to ask you right now, as he comes and leads the singing, would you come?
Turn with us, if you would, together to hymn number 372. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. As Brother Griff has shared, you obey the Lord and do that which needs to be done to bring peace and fullness in your heart. Number 372, Living for Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
He'll do anything for you for his glory.
Amen.
Now, may the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and evermore. Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you, and you are dismissed. The Board of Stewards of Leave will meet at this time.